Microservice development is a non-trivial task. With this new tool called Tai, we're going to see how .NET developers can build and deploy their applications with ease. And I have Amy and Justin here from the Tai team that's going to show us how to do it. So stay tuned. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the On.NET Show. My name is Cecil Phillip, and today we're going to learn about how we can build microservices using a really cool tool called Tai. And I got a couple of folks from the Tai team that are going to be joining us today, and they're going to let us know about like what is Tai, how can we use it, and pretty much how it makes us make microservices a little bit easier. So I want to introduce Justin and Amy to the show. So how are you guys doing?
Hi.
Hi.
So why don't we start with Amy? Why don't you introduce yourself really quickly and just tell folks who you are and what you do at Microsoft?
Hi, I'm Amy. I'm a program manager at Microsoft, and I work on the .NET team.
Awesome. And Justin?
Yeah, I'm Justin. I've been working at Microsoft for almost 4 years now. Time flies. And I've been working primarily on server technologies within ASP.NET Core, as well as microservice and cloud native things.
Awesome. So let's just kind of get into it. Like, what is this Tai thing? Because I keep hearing about it. I keep seeing it on the internet. Like, people are going crazy about it. Like what is this thing all about?
Yeah, for sure. I think the first thing that I wanted to start with is talking a little bit about the problems that Tai is trying to solve. I think fundamentally, like, to understand what Tai is, it's really important to say, okay, what is it actually trying to do? So to start with, there's a lot of problems currently with .NET. Microservice development today. Let's just say you're developing monolith. You have like a single app that you maybe are talking to a backend or something like that. Let's say for various reasons, you want to split that app up into multiple services, whether it be for developer productivity, for performance, for whatever reason. As soon as you're trying to run the app locally, that becomes very difficult to do. You now suddenly have two apps that you need to start at different times or at the same time. And doing that like with .NET run commands is just kind of cumbersome and a little bit difficult. It's a little bit easier in Visual Studio. You can do some startup project stuff, but it's not super intuitive. It also becomes difficult because now you have two apps. You need to have these apps communicate with each other. So in an example, we have a front end and an API. If you have this front end that wants to talk to the API, you need to know what the URL is. You need to know how to communicate with that in order to actually get the information from the API. If you hard code URLs or you do anything like that, it becomes very fragile, especially when you go from production to development scenarios and, you know, maybe a port conflict's going on locally. It just becomes really difficult. Another thing that becomes difficult is like these dependencies. So, you know, I mentioned you may have a monolith that you have like a SQL server you're talking to. Well, you may need to actually start that SQL server like when you're running your app, whether you start it like every single time or you have it running in the background. Doing that like is just a completely separate process from your application and becomes really difficult if you want to start that that dependency every single time. And so fundamentally from all of this, like the thing we're trying to figure out is what can we do to make it really easy to develop microservices with .NET and other languages and really just flatten this learning curve for microservices that like I and many other developers have.
Got it.
Yeah, so going to that, like, what is actually Tai? So the fundamentals of Tai is that it's a tool that makes developing, testing, and deploying microservices a lot easier. Many of the value props of Tai are included in two different commands. I'm going to go over the details of Tai run right now. So Tai run is a command that allows you to run multiple services locally. Effectively, it will discover and find multiple of your .NET or different types of applications locally and be able to run those all with a single command. It also solves the problem that I mentioned of service discovery. So, you know, if you want to communicate between two different applications, instead of using these hard-coded URLs, Tai does some clever things with configuration and injecting environment variables on startup to make it so these URLs are completely discoverable by the time you actually need to communicate with these different services. Another thing that was really easy is that because we are the .NET team, we made a really good experience with using .NET and understanding project file systems to make it so your builds for multi-application dependencies and also the time to like restart and refresh them is really efficient. So it tries to make it so the local experience of developing just multiple .NET applications really easy. We also have a dashboard that Amy's going to demo in just a bit that shows logs and metrics and a bunch of different things. So you have completely like effectively a topology of your application, seeing like all the services that are currently running. And then also the problem of like needing an extra dependency, like needing Redis or needing RabbitMQ or something like that, Tai also allows you to add Docker dependencies into the application to be able to run when you start your entire application.
One thing I want to ask you is, you know, I feel like microservice development and containers are like synonymous now. Like it's kind of hard not to hear both of them in the same breath. How much do I need to know about like Docker and Kubernetes and Istio and all these types of things if I want to get started using Tai?
Yeah, totally. So that's fundamentally the problem we see today is getting started with Docker, getting started with Kubernetes. It's just such a, it's just another layer on top of your application development, especially if you're just a .NET developer or your X language developer, and you just want to take your language and run it wherever, right? The whole point of Tai is to try to minimize that as much as possible. So with, we're going to show this later a little bit about like not needing to know any Kubernetes or Docker to even just deploy to Kubernetes. Locally, you don't need to actually have any Docker files at all if you want to run these applications. For .NET stuff, you can run them within containers just by specifying a command. And not needing to know any of that stuff with regards to Docker makes it so much easier to get started. And eventually, you know, you can unravel some of those details. You know, if you want to start using Docker files, if you want to start using Kubernetes manifests, there's a nice on-ramp to that as well.
Nice, cool.
So yeah, at this point, I think we're going to go into a demo of Tai Run.
Awesome. So opening up Visual Studio Code, we can see that our app consists of two services, a front end and a back end app. So this is the application that we're using for the demo. They're just two simple apps, super simple, basic .NET applications. So ideally, we want to be able to run this app without having to deal with Docker containers or anything like that. We just want to be able to have these two processes running locally and have our front end call the back end to display some upcoming weather forecast data. So typically, to kind of work around this, people would generally configure Visual Studio to have like multiple startup projects, or they'll either create a script and run it to get everything up and running at once. But with Tai, though, this is all solved by just using one command, Tai run, which will run all of the application services at once. So I'm going to switch over to the terminal. And so when we run this command, Tai run, we're going to see all of the different processes that Tai executes locally, including our two services. So one key feature that Tai provides is the ability to view a dashboard. So we can see that our dashboard's running here. So this is the view of the Tai dashboard, and you can see we have both front-end and back-end projects up and running. You can also view the logs coming from each of these projects. So for example, if we view the front-end, we can see the different logs that are happening and all of the different processes that are happening for the front-end. You can also view the different restarts and replicas for each of the projects. Here we also have our port bindings where you can navigate to either the front end or the back end. So if we click on the front end, for example, we'll be able to see the back end's response printed out in the UI with all of the forecast data. So for bindings, what Tai does is it picks unused ports at random to start each service on. So this helps to minimize port conflict issues that are common when you're developing multi-service applications. So Tai makes this process a lot easier, especially as you start to scale and add more services onto your application. You can not have to worry about, you know, your ports conflicting. So you might ask, well, you know, how did the front end even know about like the URI of the back end to be able to communicate with it and then display the weather data? So Tai utilizes service discovery. And before the start of each service, Tai will inject environment variables into each process, which includes both the binding information and the connection string based on that particular service. So this allows each service to know about all of the other services, which then allows them to be able to communicate with each other and then run. So we also provide an extension method that makes it easier to get each of the URIs from the .NET configuration model. So if we go into the front end application in Visual Studio Code, we can go to our startup.cs file. So on line 30 here, we can see that there's a method we added to the config model that gets the URI of the backend. So this essentially is just parsing the environment variable we injected to get the backend URI. So yeah, this kind of summarizes some of the key features that Tai can do. So it can run all of your services locally without worrying about conflicting hosts and ports. You can also run multiple services that can communicate with each other. So for example, our backend data is communicating with our front end and then displaying the forecast information. And we also have our UI dashboard. So you can check the different bindings and logs and replicas and restarts. And yeah, so this is basically the gist of how TyRun works. Or do you have any questions?
I do have a question. So with the whole service discovery part of it, I understand how that works from a developer perspective, but when I deploy it, does that same service discovery mechanism translate to like me running in, you know, orchestrated environments and different places as well?
Yeah. So in the next part, when we kind of talk about the deployment section, when we get ready to deploy this application to Kubernetes, we're using the same sort of service discovery conventions, and there isn't really anything that you need to change on that end. So it stays pretty consistent across.
Nice. And then the other thing I wanted to ask you, so you mentioned that not only it runs my projects, but it also runs some of the dependencies. So if I had Redis or RabbitMQ or whatever, like it'll run those things for me. Can I run Tai in a way that I could say, hey, run my dependencies, like, you know, boot up Rabbit and Redis and those types of things? Because, you know, sometimes dependencies take a while to start up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as I'm writing my code, can I do like a watch and, you know, .NET watch run Tai kind of thing? And then iteratively work on my microservices without having it spin up and spin down my dependencies? Does that make sense? Can we do that?
Justin, are you aware of that?
Oh, Justin, you're muted.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah, so I believe today we are actually working a little bit on figuring out how that story works. So the idea of, okay, you have some things you want to persist, right? You have a database you want to persist across runs for Tai. And then during that time, you want to be able to edit code and change code throughout that. So Tai today supports a watch mode, which allows you to have changes within your code, and then it effectively does hot reload for your code. But the thing we're trying to figure out is how to make it so those dependencies you have, like a Docker dependency, don't restart every time. You can, for the duration of Tai run, you can have those dependencies exist, but as soon as Tai run finishes, they'll be shut down. So trying to figure out how to set that up correctly in the long term is something we're looking into.
Got it. Cool. All right, Justin, I think you had some more slides too.
So let's quickly go over the ideas behind Tai Deploy and the other part of Tai itself, the second main value prop. So people have been talking about Kubernetes a lot. Like, it's, you know, everyone's talking about it. It's a really interesting technology for allowing people to deploy applications to, and we see that as a good place for especially microservices to run as well. Now, if you're actually wanting to deploy to Kubernetes, that is very hard. I'm not saying it's very hard from the standpoint of very hard in the long term, but if you want to get started on Kubernetes, getting that everything set up is just difficult. You need to create Docker files, you need to build and push these Docker files and create images from them, and then you need to push them to a registry. You have so many versions you need to manage, you need to be able to tag it with an updated version so that when it gets pulled down, it's actually using the updated version. You need to have these Kubernetes manifests, and then every time you write these manifests, you need to update your tags in for the Docker file in those files, and then you need to finally apply them to your Kubernetes context. Like, every single time that happens, it's just painful. And so we also noticed this is a problem in general, and we wanted to use and see how Tai can help with this scenario in order to make it easy to deploy to Kubernetes. So Amy's going to show off something that shows how you can just run the ability for Tai or for an application to get to Kubernetes with a single command.
Nice.
Yeah, so as Justin mentioned, Tai can Dockerize and deploy your services to Kubernetes very easily. So continuing on with our front-end and back-end application, so now we want to go ahead and deploy this app to Kubernetes. So typically deploying to Kubernetes isn't simple, like Justin mentioned, requires just a lot of work up front. So with Tai, it simplifies all of that with just a single command. So to get your app up and running with Kubernetes is really easy with Tai. So what we can do is I'm going to start with an empty Kubernetes cluster so we can double check and just make sure we don't have any deployments currently running. So I'm going to run kubectl get deployments. we can see so far, we have nothing deployed. And we can also do the same for the services. So kubectl get services, and we should see that we just should have Kubernetes running right now. So now I'm going to go ahead and run tie deploy. And I'm going to run tie deploy, and I'm going to also pass in the dash I or the interactive flag, which tie will then go ahead and prompt me for the name of my container registry. So I'll go ahead and enter in my Docker Hub username for that value. So what tie is doing now is that it's going to produce build output for each of the applications and then create a temporary Docker file. And it's going to also execute Docker build to create the Docker image and then push that image to my Docker Hub account. And then the Kubernetes manifest will be generated and that'll be applied to Kubernetes. So then the application will be available on there. So just one simple command takes care of all of that. So as Justin mentioned, you don't have to do this whole like setup process with your manifest and doing the images and this, everything is just done for you with just the tie deploy interactive command. So as you can see, Docker is going ahead and building my images, it's creating them, it's validating, generating the manifest, and then applying all of those files. So now everything's been deployed. So now we can go ahead and view our deployment, and we can see that we have the app up and running. So in order to do that, we can use port forwarding. So we can run the command kubectl port forward front end. Oh, forgot I have to give it a port number. So we can give that 5080.
You misspelled kubectl, no big deal.
Oh, my bad. Let's not try not to have any more typos. Okay, so we should be good to go on that and sweet. Okay, so that's going ahead and generating. So I'm gonna go ahead to port 5000. And here we can see that our application is now running in Kubernetes on port 5000. So service discovery is also used in Kubernetes, as I mentioned before. So, you know, locally we would do the environment variable injection with the correct port and host. So here we're actually basically doing the same thing when we deploy to Kubernetes. So we can actually check that out by doing kubectl describe deployment. And yeah, so now here we can see the environment variables that we saw locally that were being injected. So this is how that's working, how service discovery is working with Kubernetes. So we didn't have to do anything magical here. So yeah, this is how tie deploy can be used to deploy multiple services in your application to Kubernetes, very simply with just one command without any other overhead. So this makes it really great for testing applications quickly in a dev cluster. So yeah, that's tie deploy. And yeah, I'll bring it back to Justin to talk about some of the other really cool features and capabilities that tie has and also what's next for tie.
You're muted.
I'm such a boomer. Some of the extended features that we're working on in tie, the tie run and tie deploy commands are, you know, the crux and the value prop that we have in tie, but there's many other features that tie supports. Tie supports the ability to use Dapper natively with it. So instead of, you know, needing to set up when you're using Dapper, you know, it's a little bit difficult to run Dapper with multiple applications locally. Tie will set it all up for you just by adding a single line to a configuration file, which allows you to effectively have all the Dapper sidecars running when you run stuff locally. Tie also natively supports Azure Functions. So being able to reference a function app within your Tie application, it just uses it like for free. Tie also supports the ability to add ingresses both locally and for deployment. Setting up an ingress, especially for deployment, is very difficult. And the idea, and to give context, an ingress allows you to actually expose traffic to the internet. in some capacity, and it allows you to, have a URL and a host and stuff like that that's actually accessible. Tile sets that both up for deployment and for running locally to give a parallel experience to both. Tile also supports diagnostics in many different forms between Zipkin, Sec, and Elastic Stack. And it's, again, only just by adding one line. It allows you to use all that stuff. Tile also supports, as I mentioned earlier, hot reload, allows you to edit code and allow that code to be rebuilt without needing to start and stop the command for Tile run. And there's also a ton of other commands that we're working on in Tile. For example, Tile build is effectively one of the first parts of Tile deploy, which just builds the Docker images. Tile push is the same as Tile build, except it just pushes the image to a container registry. And then also Tile undeploy is a command that's really useful for removing all the resources that you use in Kubernetes and or in order to clean up a deployment that you did. Nice. And just a little bit about the future of Tile, just to talk about what, what's been. We've been working on Tile for around a year, and so far it's been an experimental phase. We're trying to figure out what the next steps are. Some of the general directions and general themes we're thinking about is we're going to primarily focus on the Tile run experience initially and figure out what we're going to do there. One thing we're really looking forward to doing is expanding Tile to be a more of a multi-language tool. So supporting Node and supporting Python are two of the languages we're looking at first. And then also we're going to be adding a bunch of tooling for Tile, which allows us to use it in VS Code and VS as well. We're currently in the process of developing a VS Code extension that's also been demoed a couple times in the past. We're going to try to be making that public in the near future. And we're also going to be improving a lot of the stuff that Tile does for containerization in order to make it so it's easy to generate Docker images for .NET, Node, and any other language that Tile supports. And so, yeah, that's about it. Again, thank you for joining us. We appreciate, being here. And definitely, we're excited for Tile and we're excited for the future of it.
I had a whole bunch of questions that I wanted to ask you, but y'all just like knocked it out, like boom, 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 boom. Answered all of my questions off the bat. So that was great. If folks want to get in contact with you and like interact with the project, look at the code, I'm guessing it's all on GitHub. Right. And I'm also guessing folks could reach out to you all via social media, create GitHub issues, share feedback. And if there's any suggestions or anything like that, that they could just kind of communicate with you that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. We're both available on GitHub and Twitter and probably other things as well.
Awesome. Well, hey, thank you both for coming on, man. It's definitely been a pleasure. And thank all of you for watching. This has been another episode of the On.NET Show, where we saw how we could start developing microservice applications locally using this cool call Tile.